All right, guys, we're in lesson 13, and we're going to focus on chapter 6, verse 11, through chapter 7, verse 1. And I've entitled this lesson, A Call for Separation, okay? A Call for Separation. Now, how many of you, let me ask you just as we before we start our discussion, how many of you can remember a time when separation was discussed in church? A lot. Mike can remember that, okay? Anybody else? You'd hear, Bruce can remember that, okay? Now, for those of you, so I've got two guys, can you tell me what was emphasized when we talk about separation?
You weren't even supposed to hang around with people who weren't Christians.
Okay.
That looked different than they did, which meant keeping your hair cut and not going into places where they would go yourself.
Okay. Would you agree with him, Mike? Do you want to add anything to that?
A lot of legalism.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, separation. I remember when I became a believer in 1985, I went to a little bitty independent Baptist church in West Columbia, South Carolina, and I remember the Sunday school class. I was teaching a Sunday school class of fifth and sixth graders. And then there was a Sunday school class for the youth group, and they were going through, you're probably going to die, the youth group was going through a book on separation and learning about, are you ready for this, second and third degree separation. You're like, what is even second and third degree separation? Well, that's separating from somebody who's not separating from somebody who is doing something wrong. So I don't, like, okay, so let's say Rob is the guy here who's messing up. It's not just that I separate from Rob. I separate from Randy because Randy talks to Rob. Do you understand what I'm saying? That, you know what I'm saying? Because Randy might be contaminated by dealing with Rob. So I want to make sure that I don't deal with him. Now, I came to a conclusion about that in my early years as a believer, a lot of that was baloney because I was in the National Guard while I was in school, chaplain's assistant in a headquarters detachment for a signal battalion in Camden, South Carolina. And there was a sergeant in our unit. He was a Pentecostal pastor. And he was the only other believer in that whole unit. And so if I followed the whole separation thing, when we went away for 2 weeks of training, I was not supposed to have any kind of interaction with him based on the whole separation because he believed something totally different than me and wrong is what we were told, what they believe is wrong. Well, he believed in Christ. He was saved. And so I'm supposed to spend 2 weeks not having any fellowship with a believer. That was what they taught. Do you understand? Now that, and so what has ended up happening is, so this is 30-some years ago. What has ended up happening is that people figured out, although there's still some churches who hold to this today, most people figured out that's just crazy. That's just crazy. And so we quit teaching it. Now what usually happens is we throw the baby out with the bathwater. Because separation is taught in the scripture. But let's see what Paul says about it. Let's see what we should see about it and what he means by it. And hopefully we can learn some lessons. Because you and I are to live separate lives from the world. But not go to extremes where I don't hang out with Randy because he hangs out with Rob, who hangs out with Brad. Do you know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's craziness. Do you know what I'm saying? That's craziness. So let's take a look at this together. So we're going to start, again, remember, in the midst of this, he's talking about his credibility with the Corinthians because he's been facing false accusations, people discrediting him as an apostle. And so he's going to begin with that in verses 11 through 13. So I want you to notice with me what Paul writes. He said, We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, I speak as to children. Widen your hearts also. So here it is. He's going to talk about a call for reciprocation. All right. So first of all, he's going to talk about his own openness. So he expressed that he has been completely open with them. Paul's always been open with them. Basically, just letting them know, I haven't hidden anything. I haven't been deceptive with you. I've just been open with you. Okay. Now, the depth of their relationship. He stated that he is not restricting the Corinthians in his relationship with them. Now, do you understand what it means to restrict a relationship? Do you guys understand that? Okay. So, like, Brad and I are friends, okay? Now, in our friendship, if I'm restricting the relationship, I can allow our relationship only to go so far, and I don't give him freedom in other areas of my life. That's restricting it, okay? So there are certain things that he can talk to me about, but there's other things that I would restrict him from. I'm restricting the relationship. Paul's saying he's not doing that with them. He's completely open, okay? Completely open. And in fact, we sometimes know of this restricting thing about, you know, let me pick on Rob now. So Rob over here, okay? He only wants to be a friend with me if I do whatever he wants me to do. But then the moment I say to him no, then he moves on. He's restricting the relationship. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's not a proper thing to do. Relationships need to be open. It's give and take, right? Should be, right? Okay? And thankfully, my relationships are that way with the friends I have, hopefully. But he states that he's not restricting them in his relationship with them. However, he does point out that they have restricted the relationship. He's been open with them. However, the Corinthians, with regards to him, they've restricted it. They're making these accusations that, I mean, think about it. He started the church. He's the one who introduced them to Jesus. He's been very open with him. He goes away. Some others come in. They start casting seeds of doubt concerning who Paul is and what he's done. And now they're the ones who are restricting the relationship. And he's pointing that out to them. So here's what he's calling them to do now. Look with me at verse 13, okay? Here's what he says in verse 13. In return, I speak as to children. Now, think about that. Now he's talking about maturity level here. He says, earlier in other passages, I wish I could speak to you guys as adults, but you are children, okay? Widen your hearts also. So here it is. He called them to return the love that he has expressed to them. They're to reciprocate. They're to return the love, okay? Return the love. That's what he's calling them to. So now, when we get to verse 14 through verse 1 of chapter 7, we're going to see a call for holy living. So when we talk about separation, it's really about holy living. Okay, so here's what he starts off with. Look with me at verse 14 through 16. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? And what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? And what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God says, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. All right, so let's talk about this call for separation. So first of all, he's going to give you a general principle. Here's the general principle. Believers are not to enter into any partnerships with unbelievers. That's the general principle. Okay, so let's talk about that. How do you feel about that? Do you understand what he's saying? He's making a general statement here that believers are not to enter into any partnerships with unbelievers. What do you think about that? All around, Rob, not just business. All around. What? You don't believe what? Okay, all right, so let's stop. So we're not just talking about business relationships, but it could be marriage relationships. No, we're not talking about friendships. No, this isn't about friendships. You know, being a friend, I'm not in. Okay, so let's go back. I said Brad and I are friends, right? Now, if you asked either one of us, are you guys partners with each other? No, we might say, well, he's my partner, like in a slang way, but we would not say we've entered into a partnership. Do you understand? We have a relationship, a friendship, but it's not a partnership, okay? It's not we're decided. Partnership is where we are working together and we share values and we're making decisions about something, okay? That's not what it's talking about. So marriage is, yeah, that is an agreement together, a covenant, yes. So now would you change your answer? Okay, you're going to change your answer. Okay. You had your hand up, Lori? Okay, all right, good. But you got everybody curious now. What was she going to say? Okay, I don't think that's what it's talking about. I think it's where you're making decisions and your values are, you know, it has to do with your value. In fact, let's go through it and I'll explain to you what I'm talking about. Okay, because here he's going to use several key words, okay? So first of all, the principle expanded. He explains the true nature of such partnerships with unbelievers. So he's going to talk about the true nature of these partnerships, all right? So first of all, Paul asks five questions to explain the true nature of a partnership. So he's going to ask five questions here. Five questions for you and I to understand the nature of these partnerships, all right? So those who have been delivered cannot fellowship with those who are in darkness. Fellowship here means an intimacy. You can't have true intimacy with somebody who is not following the Lord, who does not hold your values. Okay? This is the first question. So the first thing is the person that you're in fellowship with or in a business partnership with, does he hold to the same values in this intimate relationship with each other? Does the marriage relationship, okay? All right, does the marriage relationship. All right, so the emphasis of this passage is not on day-to-day contacts. Do you know what I'm saying? So like when I go into Gates and I talk to the people at Gates, it's not that, I need to separate from all unbelievers. Well, then I can't go shopping anywhere. Do you know what I'm saying? I only go to Sheetz to get my gas because I can do it through my phone so I don't have any contact with anyone. Okay? Really, I mean, seriously. That's just crazy. You know what I'm saying? I just go to Walmart and I use a self-checkout, you know, so I don't talk to anybody. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about day-to-day contacts. He's talking about intimacy, an intimate relationship. The emphasis of this passage has to do with long-term commitments. It's about long-term commitments. So, okay, let's say two people start a company, have business as a company. One is a believer, one is not. At some point, there's going to be a conflict because the one who's not is going to follow whatever the world says to do, whereas the believer might come across as crazy because he's wanting to follow biblical principles. Do you understand? Now that's different than, okay, so like for instance, Bruce here works for a company. This doesn't apply to Bruce because he's working for somebody. He may have a managerial position, but he's not the one who's making the ultimate decisions for the company. Am I right in saying that, Bruce? Yes, for the most part, okay? So the point is, do you understand what I'm saying? So this doesn't apply to him in working. But if Bruce was the head of the company in partnership with somebody else, then yeah, that would be a difficult thing to try to do there. Okay? Yes.
Or if you're working for someone and they're totally against your principles, asking you to do things that aren't...
Yes, ethical, yes, or biblically, yeah, then you have to make a decision. Do I want to continue to be here?
It's a different job.
Yes.
Like being in a partnership where you have to...
Yes, yeah, yeah. Okay.
And then you can say, you see you went crazy and say you're going to start cheating people. I can say, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
They'll either let me go or I'll leave, but
right. Yeah. Yep.
We're not partners.
Right.
Yep. Okay. So here's the basis for separation. We look at this in verses 16 through 18. So first of all, Lord, does that help you a little bit? Okay. So we're talking about intimate fellowship with people. So that's either like in a partnership with a business or in a marriage relationship, okay? So let's go on. So the basis for separation, okay? Let's look at verse 17 and 18. Therefore, go out from their midst. Be separate from them, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Then I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Okay. So he points out that we are the dwelling place of God. See, I think this is the one thing that we can't grasp, don't want to grasp, forget to grasp. I could just go on. I just don't think it's real to us that when you walk somewhere, God is with you. Do you understand what I'm saying? God is with you. God is with you. Why would he be with you? First of all, let's talk about the logic of that. Why is he with you? Okay, Holy Spirit, Rob, you whispered it. You said, speak up boldly, bro. You're drinking coffee. You should be bold there, okay? Okay, what's that? Okay, all right. Yeah, you're the temple. You're the temple. The Spirit of God is with you. So wherever you go, God goes with you. Okay? So the emphasis there is this. So the reality is that you're the dwelling place of God. So when you enter into this, it's not just you. It's God with you. We forget that, though. It's like, I can do whatever I want, and ask forgiveness. No, God is with you. Do you know what I'm saying? So I just thought of this, okay? So here's an illustration I just thought of. Let's say I'm going to do something really wrong, and I take my wife with me. She doesn't know I'm going to do it. Well, God does know, okay? But I'm going to take her with me, and then I just do something flat out wrong and subject her to whatever I'm doing is wrong. Do you understand what I'm saying? How's that make her feel? Is she oblivious to it? No, not at all. Do you know what I'm saying? We take God with us. In the person of the Holy Spirit, he's with us. Why do you think the scripture says things like this? Don't grieve the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. It's talking about you recognizing who's with you, the Lord, okay? So, all right, so you're the dwelling place. That's what he wants us to see here. All right, so here's the desire. God's desire is to dwell with us as our God, and we as his people. He wants to dwell with us. Now, here's the thing. So he's calling us to live holy lives. He's calling us to be separate. Don't engage in commitments with other people who don't, who like intimate fellowship with people, like in business arrangements or marriages or whatever, that would create a problem. He wants to be with you, and he wants to have intimacy with you, okay? He wants to dwell with you. He wants to be your God. He wants you to be his people. So that means you really need to think about how you're living. Do you know what I'm saying? You really need to think about what's it doing to your relationship with him when you, when you're just doing your own thing, you know? You're just doing your own thing. So here's the call for purity. He calls us to live separately from the world. Now, how can you do that, George? Okay, now here, Paul in another letter tells them, he's talking about you separating yourself from sinful people, especially those in the church, not from the world, because if you had to separate yourself from the world, you have to leave the world. It's about you connecting yourself to sin. Live separately from the world system. Live differently. Be different. But let's be honest. I'll be honest. Most of how I'm driven, if I'm really honest with myself, is driven more by the principles and guidance of the culture that I live in than it is by God's word, right? Shouldn't be that way. But most of us are driven that way. You know, we just, in fact, we don't even think about it. Okay, so let's say we had mosquitoes in here. Thankfully, we don't. And one buzzes on my arm. My natural reaction is to squash it. Although I've been told, don't do that. You're driving something into your arm. Okay, whatever. I'm not brushing it off, whatever. I'm trying to kill that thing. It didn't take me long to think about doing that. It was instant. Most of us live in the instant because we're guided more by the world that we should be separating ourselves from than by God's word that we should be putting into our lives, right? Okay? Putting into our lives. Let's go on. Here, let's see. Our lives are to be marked by holiness. Our lives are to be marked by holiness. Okay, so let me just stop for a moment. What do you think about that statement? Give me your natural reaction. Okay.
The way a Christian is in the world. Like, you shouldn't blend with people. I mean, you should kind of, I'm not saying a holier than thou kind of an attitude.
No.
There should be a difference between the way you conduct yourself and the way that the world conducts themselves. If you're in a group of people, you should be different.
Okay. All right. That's good, Lisa. Anybody else got a thought? What, when you hear this phrase, you are to be marked by holiness, what comes to your mind? What are you thinking? Yeah, Rob.
We should be a reflection of Jesus in the world.
Okay, we should be a reflection of Jesus in the world. That's what you're seeing there. Okay, all right. That's good. Now, you and Lisa are doing really good. Because when I look at it, I must be tainted. Okay? I must be scarred from my earlier Christian life. Because from my earlier Christian life, the whole concept of being holy is what Bruce expressed earlier. Don't have a beard. Have your hair a certain length. Carry a certain Bible. Dress a certain way to church. Don't go to that restaurant because it has a bar. Don't even park your car near the ABC store in case somebody sees you going it, thinks that you're going in there. Do you know what I'm saying? Don't do anything on Sunday. Okay. You know, that to me, that was a concept that we were communicated in our church what holiness was, right? But is that really holiness? Yeah, holiness is on the inside. That really is what Mike expressed earlier, legalism. Remember you heard Mike saying it was legalism? That's just legalism.
The Holy Spirit, as you read God's word, teach you what holiness is.
Yes, the Holy Spirit will teach you, yes.
Because if you studied God's word, you knew half the stuff they were saying, they made up themselves.
Yes, or it was their preference, yes. Yes, that's our problem. Yeah, you're right, Bruce. Yeah. So what I want you to see, when we talk about holiness here, we're not talking about imposing on us a standard of legalism, but what we're talking about is living as God wants us to live. And the Holy Spirit, Bruce said it, will guide you. Do you know what I'm saying? He will guide you that this is not what you're supposed to be doing. Don't do this. Okay? Don't do this. Or do this. All right? Or do this. So let's talk about the relationship that we have to God. So God will be our Father, and we will be His children. You're His children. Okay? You're His children. So, all right. So let's talk about verse 1 now. We're at the end now. Let's talk about the exhortation for holy living. All right. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of the body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. All right, so here he's going to talk about this exhortation to holy living. So here's the basis. Because of the promises of the relationship with God, Paul calls us to action. All right, so here's the thing. All right, would everybody agree? You have been promised to have a relationship with the living God. Is that true? Do you believe it? All right, hopefully you do. Now, what Paul's saying is it's got to be more than just belief. You got to act on it. You can't just say, oh, I have the possibility of a relationship with the living God. That sounds ridiculous, right? I have the possibility of a relationship with the living God. No, he wants you to say, I have a relationship with the living God. Why? Because you're actively pursuing it, okay? Actively pursuing it. So because of the promises, he calls us to action. So here's the call. He calls us to remove all sinful behavior and attitudes from our lives. Wow, that's tough. Yeah, but isn't that the process of sanctification? He calls us to do that, to work on our attitudes that are wrong, work on our actions that are wrong. And you know what? He is patient. Yeah, he is graceful, but if he has to slap us upside the head, he'll do that. Do you understand what I'm saying? But he's calling us, okay, in this relationship that we have with him, get rid of these things in your life. Come out from among them. Quit looking like the world. The problem today is the church looks a lot like the world a lot of times. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing different about us, okay? Now, here's the perfection. Because of our fear of God, we should be maturing in holiness. As you grow and as you mature, and because you have a fear of God, now I'm not talking about a cowering fear, although that could be there. I'm talking about a healthy, reverent respect of who He is, that you're not going to do certain things because you know the Lord. It's going to be the thing like when something, a temptation comes up and it's like, oh, do this. You're like, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. Immediate, boom, I can't do that. You know, so you need to be driven out of a fear for him. So, you know, so here's the thing. I mean, I did get in a lot of trouble when I was a boy, but there were certain things I didn't do because I knew who my daddy was. Yes. Do you know what I'm saying? And that was probably true for some of you as well. You didn't do certain things because of who you were, what family you came from. At least that's how it used to be, right? Not that way anymore, but, you know, so there needs to be a sense of fear within us, a fear of God, which what helps us to mature in holiness. So, all right, so it gets back to the whole separation thing, okay? Let me ask you a question. Is that different than just telling you a whole bunch of rules? Because that's what we used to do in church. Be ye separate. Don't associate with people who associate with people who associate with people. Is what Paul's talking about here completely different? All right? Yes.
How you act towards somebody, it's a lot more difficult. There isn't any, like Lauren was saying, there's no definite lines. You've got to really pay attention. What's God's word say? Like that?
Okay. Yeah.
Am I lining up with that? Am I doing, praying to God? Am I doing the right thing here?
Yep.
Help me to make a decision. Help me to see the lines clear.
No, I think that's a good point, Lisa, because here's the thing. All right, so I think back to my early church life and all the rules that needed to be kept. You can keep all the rules and go to all the services and dress the right way, carry the right Bible. By that, I mean a King James Bible. And, and do all these right things and amen at the right time, you know what I'm saying? And you never have to adjust your attitudes. You can still be mean and miserable to people, but you're still doing the right stuff, right? So therefore you're okay with God. But on the inside, you're rotten to the core.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? On the inside, you're nasty and talking about people. Have you ever noticed that even in those churches, gossip seems to be the okay sin to do? Do you know what I'm saying? What's that? Oh, yeah, we got to pray people in the back. Yes. Yeah. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, you're right, Lisa, living this way of separating and getting into the relationship, that's a little bit more difficult because if God is with me, he knows what my issues are, right? And if it's offensive to him, he's going to be telling me, hey, George, that attitude isn't good. That desire isn't good. That action on your part out of that attitude and actions isn't good. George, you didn't talk to that person right. You need to apologize. Well, that goes against my pride, right? Because none of us want to apologize, right? See, these are the things that we're called to do. Separate ourselves from the way the world operates and begin showing ourselves as being different because we're responding to what he's telling us to do, right? What he's telling us to do.